We're going to go back into the book of Nehemiah. I love Nehemiah, and it's kind of a passion of mine. It was one of the things I remember most. My dad actually taught an entire Bible study on the whole book of Nehemiah through an entire month back when I was just a teenager, and I remember, Heather, him teaching that. I really do. Nehemiah has stuck in my head. My dad even was so in love with Nehemiah that he actually, even in his days of having dementia, he would actually make commentary notes himself. And he literally had 146 pages of notes from the book of Nehemiah. One day we'd like to type them up and publish that as a book for my dad. But Nehemiah was a big deal to my pops, and it's become a big deal to me. And in Nehemiah chapter 1, we talked about how to know when you need renewal. Chapter 2, we talked about what to do personally when we come to that need and want renewal. Last week, we talked about how to be an incredible member of a local church. And it's important that we know what our purpose is. It's important that we understand we all need to participate. And it's important we encourage each other. Now, tonight, what I'm going to look at is what happens when renewal does happen. What happens to us when renewal happens in our lives? Because I think too often we wait for God to renew us, and sometimes we go through seasons of renewal, and we don't even know we're going through that season. God's doing some cool things, and He's showing things to us, and we're still waiting for the next thing. We're waiting for the next blessing or the next movement of God, and we don't realize that right where we are, Carrie, God's doing something. And we're always looking ahead, and that's what we tend to do as humans. We always want the next experience. We want to experience something bigger and better. And what God has called us to do is to follow Him in the here and now. And God moves now. So I believe sometimes we can miss it, that the Lord does some really cool things and we're missing the boat because we're looking ahead. When I used to coach basketball, one of the things I would tell my team all the time is, don't look ahead. Meaning that if you're a decent team and you're going to face your arch rival in 2 weeks, don't look ahead to them and overlook the team that's in front of you now that could actually beat you and you think you have an easy win. Don't look ahead. Don't do that. Cherie, be in the present. Be in the moment. And understand that God does bring renewal. He brings refreshment in spite of the circumstances. Now, when He does that, there's going to be certain things that will happen. And we're going to look at that from this text tonight. Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 1 to 9. Miss Heather, you did a great job with the names in there and addressing them. And we're going to look at what happens when renewal comes to our lives. All right? So let's kind of walk through that a little bit. First of all, y'all understand that we look at Nehemiah. Sanballat was one of his enemies. But I want you to understand something. Nehemiah was leading the Jews to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem to protect themselves against enemies and against those who want to destroy them. Sanballat didn't want the walls rebuilt. Sanballat did not like the people of Israel, so he came against them. I want to remind you that all warfare is spiritual. Every person that you feel comes against you, JoJo, you have to understand that the enemy is behind him. The enemy is behind her. Now, he or she could do better in their lives, but the bottom line is you're being attacked by the enemy. And so who is our enemy? The devil, absolutely. Thank you. The devil is our enemy. Satan is our enemy. Lucifer is our enemy. His desire is to destroy us, Ashley. That's his goal. That's what he desires to do. We know from Scripture that he moves around looking to see who he can devour. Devour is not a picture of having a snack. Devour is tearing something, literally, piece by piece, ligament from ligament, a wild animal that just rips and devours. That's what he wants to do to you and me. And so the enemy came against Nehemiah, but of course, what came against Nehemiah wasn't just Sanballat, it was Satan himself. And the enemy comes against us when we have renewal. So I just want you all to understand that. Too often, I think we forget that the enemy desires to destroy us, and the hard thing is we flirt with him. Do y'all hear me? We flirt with the enemy. We let him go just far enough. How far can I dance with the devil? How far can I get close to this sin? How can I dabble just close enough without getting hurt? And guys, that's one of the most foolish things you can do. Not a single person in here, barring some young person that wants to show how brave they are, any wise person, if there is a wild lion in this room, any person has any sense at all is finding a way to get out of this room and shutting the doors. Amen? If there was a bomb that was here, or a hand grenade with a pin out, no one's going to go up, Hunter, and go, gee, I wonder what's going to happen if I stay. You're getting out as fast as you can. But when it comes to the enemy who desires to destroy us, we flirt with them. We flirt with the sin. We kind of go tease with that. Guys, understand, the enemy does not want you to have fun. He wants to destroy you. So let's look at what happens now when renewal starts happening, all right? I want you to know the first thing that happens is that the enemy will come against you with ridicule. He'll ridicule you. Who knows what the word ridicule means? What does ridicule mean? To make fun of. To belittle you. To put you down. All right? Look at chapter 4, verse 1. Now remember, we looked at chapter 3 last week. And do you remember? They were building the walls and great success was happening. And everybody was doing what was right in front of them. And great and mighty things were going on. When that happens, in verse 1, it says, when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. And he ridiculed the Jews. He ridiculed them. He wanted to make fun of them. We'll look here in a minute on how he does that, but really he comes against them. Now, I just said it, I don't know if you were listening, but when did Sanballat come against Nehemiah and the people of Israel? What just happened in chapter 3? Help me out. What happened in chapter 3? Are y'all with me? What happened in chapter 3? Chapter 3, remember, great success. The walls were being built. Good things were happening, Heather. They were seeing walls that were destroyed now taking form and being raised up. Great success was happening. Sanballat got angry at that and proceeded to ridicule the Jews. I'm here to tell you, folks, that the enemy ridicules us when we're experiencing success in our lives. When we start seeing God do some things, we start getting some renewal, we start doing some things we never thought we'd do, we're walking by faith, we're getting set free from sin, we're starting to take a stand, we're starting to see the Lord move, we're starting to see family members come closer to getting saved, we're starting to see blessings from the Lord, and then what happens? The enemy comes against you. The enemy doesn't mess with you if you're not a threat to him. You want the enemy to leave you alone, then just be a lump of clay on the couch and be ready to die. When you start being renewed and you start having success, the enemy comes against you. He comes against you with ridicule. He makes fun of you. He mocks you. Now let me show you why he does this or how he does that. First of all, it says in the end of verse 1, he ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Now, first of all, the enemy wants to sabotage your service. He wants to undermine what you're doing for God. He comes in and he says, the enemy here says, who do these frail, weak, fumbling Jews think they are in trying to rebuild the walls? Really? These weak, feeble, frail people. And doesn't the enemy do that to us? How many times have I gone up to one of y'all and I've said, I would like for you to lead us in prayer? And some of y'all's first response is, I can't do that. I can't do that. And I ask why? Because I'm no good at it. I've never done it before. I don't want to sound dumb. I don't want to sound stupid. You get this. The enemy has now come in the back door and made you think that your service is weak and frail. And some of y'all may not have problems praying in public, but if I said you're going to get up and give a sermon tomorrow morning, then some of y'all may go, well, I don't know. I'm really not trained. I'm not adequate. I don't know. The enemy, once again, has come in and said, Carrie, you're frail. You're weak. You can't do this. I believe what's kept the Church of Jesus Christ in America from exploding, except for not repenting of our sin. That's always the number one thing in my book. But one of the reasons why BOC isn't busting at the seams with new leaders and people doing great things and people excited for the Lord is because we have allowed the enemy to ridicule us and sabotage our service. He makes us think we're not good enough. He makes us think we're too weak, we're too frail, we're too small. And I'm going to tell you, can't all of us fall for that? All of us can fall for it. I remember the day that the men on mission were leaving. They were packing up with the roof. And Pastor David came up to me and said, "Yep, we're going to have to finish this ourselves." And I was like, no, I wasn't excited, Hunter. I was like, I'll be honest with you, my heart like sunk. Because I was like, we're too small to do this. We're too frail to do this. We're too weak to do this. We're too poor to do this. And you know, the cool thing is, I believe in some ways Pastor David thought the same thing because he wasn't exactly excited when he was telling me about it. But now as we haven't listened to the enemy, we've done things because this is what God has called us to do, we're now starting to get a little bit bold. We're starting to get a little bit excited. We're starting to get a little bit passionate. We're starting to look to what God wants us to do. We're starting to accomplish great things because we didn't listen to the enemy. The enemy wants to ridicule you, Cherie, because he wants you to think that your service is weak and frail. And I'm here to tell you that it's not. John says, "Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world." Philippians, Paul says, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." All right? So understand that first, he ridicules us to sabotage our service. He also ridicules us to destroy our dreams. Continue with me in that verse 2, and in the presence of his associates in the army of Samaria, he said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day?" Oh, real quick, did you notice that the ridicule is happening in public? It will happen to you. When you take a stand for the Lord and your life is transformed, people will start saying things about you in a public spectrum going, "Can you believe that, Hunter? Can you believe that, Katie? Did you see? Can you believe Catherine? Oh, my word, did you see that?" And they'll mock. They'll make fun of what you're doing in a public forum. Okay, now, we're going to talk about what to do about that in a moment. But it happens. The ridicule will take place. BOC has been ridiculed many times. I'm sure you all have been ridiculed. I'm sure you have had your own church, BOC, ridiculed in front of you at times. I'm here to tell you that's the work of the enemy. God never ridicules. Never. All right, so then you keep going. "Can they bring the stones back to life from these heaps of rubble, burned as they are?" So he's moved from saying, Aaliyah, he's moved from saying, "You all are too weak," to now saying, "Look at how big the job is. Can you really rebuild all that rubble? Aren't you overwhelmed?" It's kind of like back to the roof illustration. It's kind of like the enemy saying, "Do you really have the expertise and the ability and the manpower to do all that?" That's what the enemy does. He'll come against you, and he will say, "Ashley, you really are feeble and weak and frail. You're not good enough. Oh, by the way, the project is so big, you couldn't even do it anyway." That's what the enemy does. He comes and he lies. He ridicules. Their dream was to build the walls. And the enemy comes against them and says, "Can you really do that? Can you really make a huge wall out of that rubble?" And what he's saying is actually truthful. In the flesh, you can be overwhelmed with your circumstances. So the enemy comes in, he ridicules you. He actually comes in and sabotages your service. He destroys your dreams. And then he questions your accomplishments. Go on down to verse 3. "Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, 'What they are building, if even a fox climbed up on it, he would break down their walls of stones.'" So now, he's gone from, you know, the enemy has said, Sanballat, then this is the third, another enemy that comes in, but it's all from the same enemy, Satan. First, "You're too frail. You're too weak. You're too uneducated. You can't do it." But the job itself is so big, even if you weren't weak and frail, you still couldn't do it. Oh, and by the way, the job you've already been doing, it's pretty pathetic. Now, how many of y'all have ever experienced that from the enemy? Ever done that to you? You're not strong enough. The job is too big, and you've already screwed up enough anyway. So what do you expect? That's what's happened now. The ridicule's come when God had already, what, started to bless. See, this happens after successes start happening. It'll happen when someone gives their testimony. And man, first of all, what a huge deal to get up in front of people and give your testimony and lay your heart out before people. And God moves, and he's done really cool things, and you've experienced that. And then the enemy comes in and says, well, you know what? You did stutter a lot, didn't you? You didn't really stick to your notes. You kind of forgot all this stuff. Did you notice so-and-so over there? He looked like he was falling asleep. And those people over there were talking the whole time. People really weren't listening. You really didn't do a good job. Oh, by the way, a testimony is such a big deal. Who do you think you are trying to even give one? And when you did it, you were pretty bad at it anyway. Any of y'all ever wrestle with that at times? Experience that kind of stuff? How the enemy comes into your life and does those things? That's what he loves to do. He ridicules. That's the enemy's job. That's his role. He comes in. So the first thing to expect when you are starting to experience renewal is the ridicule of the enemy. And don't forget, who's doing the ridiculing? It's the enemy. So when you read Facebook, and trust me, my name is one of the favorite things. People don't use my name much anymore. They just allude to me. Okay, you know they're talking about me. They just don't say Stephen Carr. They just, you know, I remember when I went through a time a couple years ago. They didn't say Stephen Carr. They said, you know, the fat preacher up there on Roosevelt Street. That's what actually was on a Facebook post. You know that fat preacher up on Roosevelt Street. What other preachers who are overweight live on Roosevelt Street? Right? The enemy loves to come in. Loves to make the ridicule personal. And make the ridicule something that attacks you. But understand something. God's already on the move. There's already success. And the person who wrote that stupid Facebook post is not my enemy. My enemy is Satan. He's the one I do battle with, not the folks that are being used by Satan. I feel sorry for the folks being used by Satan. So when renewal comes, the enemy will ridicule you. Secondly, when renewal comes, I want to encourage you, and ridicule comes, respond in prayer. Don't try to attack back. Pray. Notice verse 4. Now, Nehemiah gets ridiculed. Does he now all of a sudden get up and say, you bad men, we're going to take you out, and start talking back about them? And you know, we do that a lot of times in the Christian world. We do. Someone will say something bad about us, and then we'll have to strike back. I can't tell you how many times I've seen folks that say they love the Lord. On their Facebook, Angie, it says, Christian. But because someone harmed them some way, they attack all over that person. That's the flesh. But Nehemiah prayed. And Nehemiah prayed with a bit of an edge to him. Yeah, this is an edgy prayer. This is not a, I love thee, thy Lord, and please have your bountiful blessings come upon these people that speak against us in an unworthy way. I mean, this was tough stuff. He says, hear us, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in a land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of the builders. Now, I do want you all to be careful. This does not mean this is the model prayer, okay? When David committed adultery with Bathsheba, that's not the model relationship. Because it's recorded doesn't mean that's how you're supposed to live. This prayer is not anything close to what Jesus teaches us to pray. But I do believe there's a certain sense of passion and a tone of God. Don't let your people be mocked. Don't let your name be mocked. And if they're going to mock you, turn it back on them. You know what? Sounds like a healthy prayer to me. Because I'm telling you, God is not going to be mocked. And so there's prayer. Right away, there's prayer. Right away. I think Nehemiah is pretty cool. This is the third time we see him pray in four chapters. This is the third time. Something happens, he prays. Something happens, he prays. Something happens, he prays. He's a pretty good model for us, don't you think? How many of you want to figure out what to do? Notice he didn't call a special meeting of the elders. He didn't call a special strategy meeting. He led them in a prayer meeting. They went praying. So when God is moving in your life and you're getting renewed and the enemy attacks you, don't be surprised, don't be offended, don't be worked up, don't try to get revenge. Understand who the enemy is and go to prayer. Be a people of prayer. That's my challenge. I'm hoping we're going to get better at that as a church. I really do. I hope we're going to get better at praying. Because I think sometimes we're a little bit weak on that. We're getting better than we were 6 months ago. But if I were to say we're going to do an Easter egg hunt and we're going to have a special meeting for that, I'd probably get 30 people out to that. If I said we're going to spend an hour and do nothing but pray, it's a little harder for me to get people geared up for that. That should be something that's more exciting to us than having a meeting. Right? Just encouragement, guys. I'm not putting you down. I just know that's where I hope we get better at. Because Nehemiah wanted to pray. Now, after he prays, the next thing you need to understand is this. They went back to work. Look with me at verse 6. He just got done praying. They were ridiculing him, right? Verses 1 to 3. Verses 4 and 5, he prays this prayer. Verse 6, so we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. So they went to work. This idea that we pray and do nothing is really not a biblical model for us. Now, there is a waiting upon the Lord, but waiting upon the Lord does not mean that we're absolutely like we do nothing. We still serve Him. We still love Him. We still are good in our marriages and take care of our kids, and we still read His Word, and we still pray, and we seek. Waiting on the Lord to respond to a request does not mean, Jessica, we sit there and do nothing. They prayed and then went back to work. They knew what God called them to do. There are some things you do not need to ask God if you should do or not. He knew they were there to build the walls. So he gets done praying for defense, and then he went right back to doing what he was called to do. You're called, parents, you're called to raise up your children in the Lord. You don't have to seek God for His will on that. You know it. It's been revealed in His Word. You are the ones responsible for the spiritual well-being of your children. So do what you, don't just sit there. Do what you got to do. Now you may be wondering, you know, what do I do when they get to middle school? How am I going to do that? And God, what am I going to do when they get to high school? So you're asking Him, you're waiting on Him. But while you're waiting, you're still doing what He's called you to do. They went to work doing what they were called to do. And as they worked hard. They worked with all their heart. So listen, when God starts moving in your life, Ashley, don't be surprised when the enemy ridicules you. Just pray. Pray and get back to work. Because whatever God did to bless you, you want to continue doing that. I remember back in the day, in my time, for some of y'all, that's way you guys weren't even around yet. I was a huge fan of this basketball player named Larry Bird. And he was incredible. And he got the biggest contract. You guys are going to laugh. You've heard about contracts these days, right, that athletes sign? Back in this day, Catherine, this was the largest contract signed at that point by any player in any sport. He signed a 6-year, $13 million contract. $2 million a year. Right now, I think that's the minimum for people who are going to play in, you know, as a professional sport. But back in that day, he robbed the bank. I mean, he got big-time money. And a reporter went up to him, and Jessica, he said to Larry Bird, so what are you going to do now that you have all that money? He said, I'm going to go back to work. I'm going to take 2 weeks vacation like everybody else does. Then I'm going to come back. I'm going to start shooting 1,000 shots a day again. I'm going to run every step of the Boston Garden again. I'm going to training because whatever got me here, I'm going to keep doing it. Whatever's going on in your life where God is blessing you and you're in His Word and you're growing, don't let the enemy get you off doing that. You keep doing that. Do you know how many times the devil's done that to me? I'll be in His Word, and I'm spending hours in His Word and praying, and Carrie, God's just blessing me and blessing me and blessing me, and then something will come up where I don't have as much time. And so I put a little less time into it. And I'm still experiencing some blessings, and I put a little less time, a little less time, a little less time, and by the time it's all said and done, Cherie, I'm back to where I was before, and I wonder why I'm not being blessed. go back to doing whatever it is that God was blessing you. As a matter of fact, if you're being blessed by God for doing something and you want to be blessed more, guess what you should do? You should do more of it. More of it. If you want to be blessed, do more. He was being blessed. Why were they being blessed? Remember chapter 3? Because they were rebuilding the wall. Chapter 4, they get attacked and ridiculed. He prays. They go back to work doing the very thing that they were being ridiculed for, because that's what God called them to do. Don't stop doing what you're being ridiculed for, my friends. Because that's the enemy trying to get you to stop, trying to intimidate you. Don't be intimidated by the enemy. He's already been defeated by the Lord. Already done. All right? And then let's kind of bring it together. We're going to wrap it up here. You know the old thing when you do, when you have shampoo? What's the directions always say? Wash, rinse, repeat. Wash, rinse, repeat, right? That's what you say. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, hear what it is. It's attack, be attacked, pray, go to work, repeat. Because what happens is this, in verse 7 and 8, the enemy gets even more intense in his attacks. If you look at the first three chapters, they only had, at one point, there was two people coming against them. Then there was three people. Now, Angie, we see four groups of people who used to fight among themselves are now best buddies coming together to go against Nehemiah and the people of Israel. So the enemy will get more intense. You got to be ready for that, folks. We always say, God, I want revival and renewal. The enemy doesn't want revival and renewal. And so when he comes against you and you won't give in, Heather, and you keep praying, you keep working, the enemy's like, I got to stop her. So he's going to work even harder. But notice what Nehemiah does. Verse 8, it says, they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. Notice Nehemiah does not call a business meeting. He goes into verse 9, but we prayed. This is the fourth time we see Nehemiah. He prayed, but we prayed to our God and then posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. So what did they do? They were attacked again. After they were attacked again, they prayed again. After they prayed again, they went back to work. That's just what they did. They weren't going to be intimidated. That's pretty passionate stuff, isn't it? That's pretty intense stuff. How many of you want to give in sometimes and give up? It's easy. It's okay if you do. Just don't do it. It's okay to want to give up, but don't give up. It's okay if you say, this is a little bit too much for me, but don't give up. Don't let the enemy intimidate you, because the victory is already yours. So I want to challenge y'all tonight. As we come to worship, you need to bring your kids to the altar, then bring your kids to the altar. But this is my challenge to you. I believe God is doing something in our midst. And don't ever let emotions, feelings, and numbers ever determine what God's up to. Sometimes God's up to big time stuff and you don't feel it. And you don't sense it. And you don't see the numbers. I could look on a Wednesday night and say, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'd be like, oh my word, we got such small numbers. And say, God's obviously not up to anything. That would be a lie. Because number one, you all are here. Listen to how crazy this is. Heather, you remember having little kids. There are moms all through here tonight that have multiple children showing up for a Wednesday night service. Don't tell me God's not up to something. I walked up the ramp and all these kids, it was like they were all over the place out there. And that was before I came in and saw the Cadwallader boys. There are 15 men on the roof doing something that most churches would never think of doing. There are people coming to our church who are visiting who really won't go to church anywhere else. The Lord's up to something. So when he's up to something, he'll ridicule it. Sometimes the enemy will ridicule using God's people. He will. He'll use God's people to ridicule it. You know, I've been told, Jessica, I've been told, and it's right. I've been told by people, Pastor, don't worry about counting attendance or worried about the offering. That does not determine whether you're a good pastor or not. And that's true. But guess what happens when the attendance is low? Who does everybody go to? The pastor. Pastor, why has Shireen hadn't been here in 3 weeks? I'm like, how would I know? You know, why hasn't Leslie been here, but I should know. My wife's not here, right? But you know, is why hasn't Angie been here? Why hasn't people get, when the offering's low, what's going on, Pastor? Are we going to be able to pay our bill? And we all worry. And you know, sometimes ridicule comes from, I'll say to people, hey, you go call them and contact them. And they make fun of me for saying that. Or I'll say, you know what? The offering may be low, but whatever God put in there is going to be enough to provide our needs. And people go, yeah, right. But Pastor, let's be real. You know, ridicule can come from really weird places. But listen, when it comes, don't be surprised. It means that God is moving and you've had some success. Don't be intimidated. Pray and get back to work and repeat. I want to challenge y'all tonight. We're going to sing. We're going to worship. We're going to wrap things up tonight. But here's my call to you. Some of y'all feel like you're under attack tonight, I'm sure. There's things in your life that's going on and the enemy's come against you. There's been ridicule. There's been things that have happened and you question things and you know God's moving, but boy, you struggle. That's the attack, right? That means God's up to something. So what's the next thing you need? You need to pray. And then you need to get back to work. I'm here to tell you that as you've been attacked, right now as we sing, I want you to pray. I want you to pray. I want you to spend some time praying. And then when you leave this place, guess what you're going to do? You can go back to work. You can keep back to serving the Lord. Because God is up to some great things. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you for bringing us into this place tonight. Be with our men as they wrap things up tonight. Keep them safe. Bring them back down to us and encourage their hearts. Lord God, I pray as we are down here right now in the church who are tasked with worshiping you and responding to your word, help us to focus in on you, God. And Lord, if there's attacks coming from the enemy, remind us, Lord, it's because you've wrought success and you're going to continue to do it. We are not too weak and too frail because greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. The task is not too great because you would never call us to a task that you would not equip us to accomplish. And God, what we've done is not pathetic or not good enough because, Lord, what you have begun, you will bring to completion. So, Lord, help us to understand that. So then help us now to pray. Just to pray, to cry out to you. And it may be like Nehemiah. It may not be the model prayer, but God, let us just be real with you. Let's call on you. Let's cry out to you. And then God, give us the power of your Holy Spirit when we walk out of this place to go right back to work again for your glory and your sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Will y'all stand with me? Let's sing together. Let's worship together. You